The Gemara here, at the end of the Amid Aleph, turning to the Amid Beis, the Gemara said, Disgasi is the carbon of a soyer of a Nasi. And the Gemara says that he's a Nasi, he's a Melech. A Nasi is really a king. And the Gemara learns out from Psukim that it has to be. It can't be a Nasi of just one Shevet. It has to be someone who's a king, who there's no other authority that's higher than him. And the Gemara brings the Bo Minei Rebbe Mirbchia Rebbe, who was the Nasi in his time in Eretz Yisrael, asked the if the Beis HaMikdosh would have been standing in my days, would I be a person that's included in the halachis of a Soyer of a Nasi? Amar Lei, to that the Bchia answered, you're not considered the highest authority, because Haritza Roscha Bebavel, which the Beis Rashi explains, you have your Tzara, somebody's above you in Bavel. You have somebody parallel. You have somebody equal power, at least at this point, the Gemara seems to understand it's equal power in Chutz La'aretz. Eisvei, the Gemara has the question. There's a braisa that says that when there were two kingdoms and there were two kings, one for the Yisrael part of Klal Yisrael, which was Ten Shvat, and one for the other part of Klal Yisrael, which was the Malchus Beis David, there were two kings. Nevertheless, the braisa says that each one would bring a sawyer. There each king was the highest authority. In other words, there was no other authority above them. They weren't one beneath another. They didn't have to be machaniyah to the other. Whereas Rebbe had to be kofuf, he had to be machaniyah, he would have to give in to the Rosh Goylish of Bavel, to the highest authority that was in Bavel. If Safra, the Gemara continues, if Safra Masnihochi, if Safra was told, heard, that the question Rebbe asked the Abchia and the conversation they had went a little different. According to Safra's version, Hochi ba mine Rebbe mi Abchia. Rebbe asked Abchia the same question. Kigoy nani ma'u b'soyer, what would be the halacha for me to bring a soyer? Amalei, but he gave a different answer. Hasam Shevet Hachem Mechaykek. There, in Bavel, they are considered a Shevet. Whereas you are considered a Mechaykek. Shevet is like a stick. Mechaykek would be some type of, what Rashi says, Chacham, someone who's a wise man, a leader who's the wise man. V'tani, we learned in Abriyaiso, the Yosur Shevet Yehuda, this pasuk, there's a pasuk in the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave to his children, the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave to his son Yehuda. He told him, the Yosur Shevet Yehuda, u'melchoykek mibein raglov. Which the Abriyaiso explains, the Yosur Shevet Yehuda, a ruler will never be removed from Yehuda as a Rosh Goyla. This refers to the leader in Galus, Shebebavel, Sheroides, Yisrael, Bemakal, that he's able to rule with power, with a stick, over the Yidden in Galus. The Galus of Bavel. U'melchoykek mibein raglav will never be removed from Yehuda a Chacham, a leader of a Chacham, from between his from between his legs, literally, which means from his children. Elu, which the Braisa explains, it refers to Bnei Bonav Shal Hillel, the Einiklach, the grandchildren of Hillel, Shemalamdim Torah, the Yisrael, the Rabbim, that they teach Torah to the Yidden publicly. In essence, the Gemara answers, Rebbe answered Rebbe, the reason why he would not be included in the halacha of a Nasi is because his rulership, his authority, is only a halachic authority. It's authority without power. So in Galus, in Babel, the highest authority had a power of taking things away, punishing, like with a stick. Whereas he only had the power, although he was the highest authority, but his authority was only to paskin shilus. It was only to answer halachic questions, to explain things, to teach, but not a power of rulership. Not a power of physically taking things away from people or punishing people. The same Gemara is brought to Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Hei. Here Tosfos adds a little bit more explanation. Tosfos says the understanding of Shevet, the ruler, the authority in Babel, which had authority of power, says Tosfos, he was able to take money away from one person and give it to another. The power that's known as Hefker Bezen Hefker. And he's called Shevet, like a stick. He's able to hit the nation. In other words, he was a power of, like a physical power. Whereas Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael was a mechaykek. He taught Torah LeRabim. He was the greatest chacham. He was the wisest man in his day. And Tosfos says he lived in Eretz Yisrael. He had the ma'ila of Avir, the Eretz Yisrael Machkim. He had the advantage of the Avir, the ear of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says the ear of Eretz Yisrael makes people smart. So Rebbe that lived in Eretz Yisrael had that advantage over the authority in Babel. But nevertheless, the authority in Babel was the one that had the physical power. Tosfos then brings a Yushalmi that explains why is it that the Rosh Goyle in Babel connects to the Shevet. Why is it that we explain this ruler has to do with the people from Babel, and this ruler has to do with the people from Eretz Yisrael? And Tosfos says, Hainu Taimo, it's based on Yushalmi, from the Rosh Goyle Mischarim. The ruler, the authorities that were in Babel, they came from the Zecharim, from the men of Yehuda. The Nazi Sheba Eretz Yisrael, but the lineage of the Nisim in Eretz Yisrael, Minikevois, they came from the woman of Yehuda. In other words, they weren't, if you would ask what Shevet they were part of, they would not be part of Shevet Yehuda. They had a lineage that went back to Yehuda from their mother's side, but not from their father's side. They were not ben achar ben, they were not son after son to the Shevet of Yehuda. And the Birskirov in his Sefer HaTorah adds explanation to this, and he says, what does Tosfos mean? Because Shevet, a Shvatim, a person is connected to, is based on whether he's a father-son. So that is Le'asa Shevet Yehuda. The part of the Pasuk Le'asa Shevet Yehuda which talks about Shevet like Shvatim, so that we say goes on to those that have the lineage from the Zecharim, lineage of father-son. Whereas Mechoykimi Bein Raglov just means a descendant, someone from between his feet, which means that it's his child. It can be a child, whether from the father's side, whether from the mother's side, they are a child of that person. They are a child of that ancestor. Now this Gemara is understanding the Pasuk of the Yosur Shevim Yehuda Mechoykimi Bein Raglov, that forever there will always be the rulers of the Yidden, the rulers of the Jews, authorities of the Jews, two different types of authorities, but in all generations they will be from Yehuda, they will never be removed from Yehuda. So this is one way of understanding the Pasuk. You see that the Gemara is saying, understanding, that it will never be removed. even in the time of Galus. Why? Because the Gemara is talking about Reish Goyle, a time when there was no Malchus, there was no kingdom, there was no kings. So the Gemara is apparently understanding that straight through the entire history, when the Pasuk, when Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha to Yehuda, that he won't be removed from him, authorities, that the authorities of the Klal Yisrael will be from the Yehuda, that's throughout the entire history, from beginning to end. Even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when there are no more kings. So if you look, and this is something that the Ran in his drashas explains, there's really two other understandings of this pasuk. The Rishonim, namely the Ramban and the Ran, understand that the pasuk of Le'yasu Shevim Yehuda Mechayim Ben Yaglov, the Pshutei Shamikra, has a different understanding. Not like this Chazal. That's one understanding. And later the Ran brings down that there's another Chazal that has another understanding. The Ramban, Al HaTorah, explains that Yaakov Avinu was not merely saying something that will happen. A Yavtocha, a promise, a Nevius, a statement of what will happen. A prophecy of what will happen. According to the Ramban, Yaakov Avinu was giving a warning. Lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda u'mechayki mi ben Yaglov. All Yidden, be careful to never remove kingdom from Yehuda and never remove Mechoykek mi bein Yaglov, never remove the other type of rulership from the Shevet of Yehuda. And the Ramban explained that this is referring to a specific time in history. We'll see, not really so specific, but it was a warning. Not that whenever there are kings, all kings should be only from Shevet Yehuda. And the Ramban goes as far as to say that all kings, when there were two kingdoms, there was Malchus, Malchi Yisrael, and Malchus Beis David, the Malchi Yisrael were in violation of this warning of Yaakov Avinu. And when the Malchus Beis Chashmonoi, when the Chashmonoim ruled over the Yidden, during the times of the story of Hanukkah, it began at the time of the Nes of Hanukkah and it continued for a whole period afterwards, says the Ramban that all these kings were in violation of this warning of Yaakov Avinu, and because of that, they were punished. The Ran questions this, and he says, what do you mean? The psukim by the brachas of Yaakov Avinu are not warnings. For example, the pasuk of Don Yodin Amoy Ke'achat Shifta Yisrael, the bracha that was given to Don, that one of his descendants will be a ruler, will do tremendous salvations for the Yidden. That pasuk is not a warning. That pasuk is a prophecy of what will happen. So too, says the Ran, everything the Yaakov Avinu was saying, a prophecy of what will happen. So if it's true, like the Ramban is saying, that there are many, many kings that their kingdom, that they were kings, was against what Yaakov Avinu said, it would come out that the prophecy of Yaakov was incorrect. It can't be. If Yaakov Avinu is saying a prophecy of what will happen, that there will never be removed, there will always be, whenever there will be a king, the king will be from Shevet Yehuda. It didn't happen. So how could it be? How could that be the Taich in the Pasuk? So therefore, the Ran says it can't be that when the Hashmonoim ruled, that that was against what this pasuk is saying. So he says the reason why Malchus Beis Hashmonoi is not a problem is because the pasuk of Yaakov, what Yaakov Avinu was saying, was a prophecy. It will never be removed. But as long as there will be kings, it will never be removed. Now both the Ramban and the Ran agree. The Ramban agrees that it's not like there will never be a time when the Klal Yisrael will have a king. Won't have a king. Not necessarily will Klal Yisrael always have a king, but as long as there will be a king, it will always be from Yehuda. So the Ran explains that the Malchus Hashmonoi, the Torah was not saying a prophecy. Yaakov Avinu is not saying a prophecy. That there will always be a king. So now sometimes the Klal Yisrael doesn't have a king. Now, even though Malchus Beis Hashmonoi, they had a king, but since that king was not appointed from the nation of Klal Yisrael, it was really that there was another kingdom that ruled over the Yidden, and there was the kingdom of Paras and Roimi, that they ruled over the Yidden, and as an extra hand, the kings of Hashmonoi were appointed, were an extra hand of that other kingdom. So that Yaakov Avinu said that Klal Yisrael will never have another king other than from Yehuda only means to say that if that kingdom will be from the Yidden themselves, it will for sure be from Yehuda. But if that kingdom will be as a Toilada, only as an appointed king through another nation, through another kingdom that's ruling over the Yidden, and that Yaakov Avinu never talked about. Additionally, that Shaul was a king, he says, that's not a problem. Because Yaakov Avinu was only promising that from when the Malchus of Yehuda will start, it will never be removed. Now, what does the Ramban say to the Kash of the Ran? If it's a prophecy, if what Yaakov said was a prophecy, how could it be that it wasn't fulfilled? So the Ramban obviously learns that what Yaakov Avinu said was not a prophecy, it was only a warning. Yaakov Avinu did not say it will necessarily happen. It didn't happen. What Yaakov Avinu said, that kingdom will never be removed from Yehuda, it did not happen. It was a warning. There were those who violated the warning of Yaakov Avinu, and they got punished for violating. So therefore the Ramban is not bothered by the Ran's kasha. But both the Ramban and the Ran are having this understanding that the pasuk is talking about real kings. Not just like our Gemara. Our Gemara understands that Yosef Shevim Yehuda Mechayim Ibein Raglov, that it talks about even when there are no kings, the authorities will be from Yehuda. So you see here that there are two understandings of the pasuk. Now just as a completion of this thought of how to understand Malchus Beis Hashmonoi, how do you understand these kings from Hashmonoim, that according to the Ran, it does not go against what the pasuk says because they were just appointed by another kingdom. According to the Ramban, they were in violation. It does not fit with Loyos Hashivim Yehuda. It was a wrong thing that the Hashmonoim became kings. The Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam, when he quotes the story of Hanukkah, he makes it that the fact that the kings after the Nes of Hanukkah were from the Kehanim was part of the salvation, was part of the Yeshua. He seems to be happy with the fact that those kings became kings, although they weren't from Sheva Yehuda. Nevertheless, in Sefer HaMitzvahs and Loisa says Shin Samach Beis, he has a different pasuk. The pasuk says Azhara not to appoint Melech and Ish Nachri. You can't appoint to be a king on the Yidden somebody who's a stranger, who's not your brother. And the Rambam says that kings have to be from David, David and his children. And his words are, Ein melech l'mishyamin b'toyas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom Adin Kal Hanevim El Mizera David Mizera Shleima Bovad. A king, anyone who believes in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, realizes that a king of the Yidden can only be from the children of David and from the children of Shleima. V'chomishu zula az mizula ze azera nichbad v'inyin malchus nochi karina bey. And whoever is not from the children of David or Shlomo is considered a king who's a stranger. And he's apparently putting it into the pasuk, making a king from anybody that's not from the children of David or Shlomo is a violation of putting a king who's a stranger. So the Rambam seems to be a big steer. On the one hand, he praises. He says it was part of the Yeshua that we had the Chashmonaim become kings. And on the other hand, he says if anybody appoints anyone to be a king other than someone from the children of David and Shlomo, is violating a law of the Yisuch HaLalecha, Allah SaLalecha Yesh Nachri, Yashalei Achichahu. So there's a Sefer Minchas Aaron HaLatoya Parashat Vayechi. He wants to explain that if you look in the Rambam, in the end of Perichelik, when he's explaining the animamins, it seems from his lashon that the hakpada, the reason why there's a problem of appointing a king from somebody other than the children of David and Shlomo, is like the Rambam himself stressed, as we mentioned, the Mishi Yamin B'Tayas Mishi Abin Olav Hashalom Elam Yizera David and Shlomo. Somebody who appoints a king from another ancestry is a rebellion against what the Nevi'im said. The Nevi'im told us that Hashem said that the kings of Klal Yisrael will be from David and Shlomo. So if somebody goes up and makes a king from another family, so as a rebellion, as trying to disagree with the family of David and Shlomo, that's where there's a lav. If somebody gets up and appoints a king because they have another reason, not because they're trying to disagree with the ancestry of David and Shlomo, not because they're trying to be chaylek, to part away from the kingdom of David and Shlomo. If someone has another reason and they're doing it for another motive, then they're not in violation of this law. So although, then we can understand that although the Rambam praises the fact that the Chashmonaim became kings, nevertheless, he still is of the opinion that if somebody appoints a king from somebody other than the children of David Shlomo, is in violation of a law. It depends what the motive of why the person appoints a king from another family is. That's just to give the full understanding of this concept of the kings of Chashmonaim and the kings from other families other than David and Shlomo, other than from the Shevet Yehuda. But back to our discussion, we so far explained that there's really two explanations of L'Yosef Shevim Yehuda Mechaykim Ibein Yaglov. One is that the Torah, the way our Gemara understands that throughout the entire history, all authorities will be from Yehuda, like our Gemara explained. Then there is The way the Rishonim are explaining, the Ramban and the Ran, they apparently understand Pshutei Shel Mikra, that it refers to kings, specifically kings. Not as after they are kings, the Torah is not discussing who the rulers and authorities will be. But when they are kings, they will always be from Yehuda. According to the Ramban, it's a warning. According to the Ran, it's a prophecy. The Ran continues and he says there's a third pshat in Chazal. It doesn't say where the Chazal is, but he says there's another pshat in Chazal that the pasuk is saying, the Torah is saying will never, kingdom of Yehuda will never be interrupted. It will never stop. There will be, and that refers to a whole other time in history. The Torah has another. What Yaakov Avinu was saying has another explanation as well. That when Mashiach will come, and the Melech HaMashiach will be from the Shevet of Yehuda, his Malchus will never be interrupted forever, ever, ever. That Malchus will continue on without any interruption. And that's a whole other explanation. One explanation is when there are kings, who the kings will be from. The other explanation is throughout the entire history, without interruption. When there are kings, when there are no kings, when Mashiach will come, authorities will always be from Yehuda. The third explanation is that once Mashiach will come, there will never be interruption in the kingdom of Yehuda, that his kingdom will last forever and ever without a single interruption. May we be zoicha to see that kingdom speedily in our days.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.